Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
What you talking about, Willis? It's Shauna Gillis.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go Milo.
Hit a homer with Jeffrey Bomer. Hannah,
God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Lulu Simon.
Sue Sue Studio.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. Well, hi everybody. I'm Ronnie, Ronnie Karam. I'm also on the Rose Fricks Bachelor podcast, which is back in full force, so go subscribe to that. And here I am with Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island over on YouTube. Go subscribe to that as well. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, happy Monday, sucka.
Happy Monday. Wow, we're like in the post-Game of Thrones hangover because we just recorded our episode of Winter's Crappening last night, right after that crazy, crazy episode of Game of Thrones, the second to last one of all time. So if you are a Game of Thrones person, be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast because we had a lot of fun recording it and talking about it.
Yes. And then this week we're in Irvine. We're going to be in Orange County doing the first episode of the season of Southern Charm. So come see that. We are in Irvine this Thursday. So get your tickets. Come on down. Okay. Then after that, we're going to Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Minneapolis, Baltimore, Nashville. A couple of those are already sold out, so go get your dang tickets for those, okay? Also, you can get merch. We have limited shirts every month. This month is Straight to the Rosé and Rosé all day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we've also got a special Winter is Crappening shirt that says, shut up, Bran.
Yeah, shut up, Bran.
So you can find links to our live shows and our merch. Just go over to watchwhatcrappens.com. Hey,
gosh, can you believe that Southern Charm is premiering this week? I feel like actually Bravo has not been pushing it as hard as it has other shows, right? Like, I feel like no one realizes Southern Charm is back on Wednesday.
Yeah, because I see the commercial all the time. They're like, oh, a Southern saying, bless your heart.
Maybe I don't see that commercial.
Bless your heart. I stole some other song and then just put bless your heart over it.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't have my finger on the pulse of marketing after all.
I have my finger on the pulse of forgetting to press fast forward because I am looking at Instagram instead of fast forwarding at the appropriate times.
It does happen. It does happen quite a bit. I mean, honestly, networks should be so happy that there's such a thing as Instagram where you get so absorbed in it that you wind up in a commercial break.
Yes. So this episode of Real Housewives of Potomac, we finally get through Candy Ass's wedding. Thank you, Jesus. I've needed this wedding to be over, and it is now over. Thank you.
Yeah, like really, like standing ovation to the producers who did not tease this out for an entire season. We already had a lot of it last season, and it wasn't entertaining then. It was not entertaining now. So this time they just were like, let's move this forward. We're just going to take care of it. It was done. I was very happy. Oh, and also, by the way, I also have to say, this is a slight tangent, but because when they talk about this wedding, reminded me of Adriana's wedding on Real Housewives of Miami, which then reminded me, very sad news this weekend, our Mama Elsa, she passed away. So RIP Mama Elsa, one of our favorites
in the
history of Bravo. So all the love to her family, etc. But we love you, Mama Elsa. We hope you're reading fortunes up there in heaven.
Yeah, we love you, girl.
Yeah. But back to this. I'll tell you what we don't love is this. This wedding.
Yeah.
But so in anticipation of the wedding, Giselle has decided that she's going to do like an exercise class to burn off about 10 calories. So she and her old friend Cal go to a place called Soldier Fit, which is like a boot camp by soldiers. But I think that's kind of like inherent to boot camp, right? Isn't boot camp for soldiers anyway? It's boot camp.
Yeah, it's boot camp. It's a military-based exercise class. They're like, I think it's propaganda. It's like, isn't the military fun? Because the guy they have is Danny, and he's like, I'm going to put you on blast today, ain't I? You guys are going to work like you never worked before. Yay, you!
Yeah, he was like, the Mikey of soldiers. Yeah, he was too much. He was way too much, okay?
He's like, look at you, Cal. Hey, Cal, you can't come into my place of work and emasculate me with those giant muscles. Like, oh, my God. It's like Britney from Vanderpump Rules.
I know. It's like, I don't even believe this guy is a soldier. I feel like he's like the local postman who just is like, I'm going to call myself a soldier now.
It's like nobody there ever bothers to ask because he can't stop telling. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So Giselle's like, well, I'm going to apologize in advance.
I'm already mortified about this boot camp.
So she updates him on the Shermanator.
Yeah. And how things have been going well because Sherman called up Giselle and was saying how much he missed her and how much he was professing his love to her, et cetera, et cetera. And she said, well, this time around, we should go to, you know, like we got to go to counseling. And she was very happy because she's like, you know, most black men, when you say it's counseling, they run for the hills. But he was into it. And Cal's like, And she's like, well, why are you saying hmm? And he's like, well, I mean, you hated him and you were like, fuck this guy. And now you're excited that he's going to counseling with you?
Yeah. She's like, but anything worth having, you got to work at it, Cal. And he's like,
Probably not.
Yeah. So she gets it because, you know, he's like the long tortured gay who has to listen. And Giselle is an extreme girlfriend, you know, because Giselle's not like, he hurt my feelings and what do I do? And you're like, you should break up with him, girl. And then she gets back together with him. That's bad enough. And we all go through that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
she's
know
the
what
one
that's
who's
like,
I'm going to kill him. I hate him. Let's go toilet paper his house. Let's slash his tires. And then the next second she's in love. You know, she's very extreme. Yeah.
And it's always, and that next second happens always right after you finally say, you know, I wasn't going to say this because I thought you guys were going to get back together, but I never liked him and I thought he was a jerk. And then the next day, guess what? We're back together. And now you're the asshole.
Yeah. And then she tells him that you said that. And then you can never go out to lunch with him again without him just looking at you like you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. And then she goes on TV next season and says, you know, things with me and Cal are just like not the same and I don't know why. I'm like, I'll tell you why. Because you told Sherman what Cal said about him.
Yep. So then we go back to the boot camp section, and the teacher is just like, hey, you want your milk and cookies? You want milk and cookies? You better get down and give me 20. It's like, oh my God, get out of this class.
Giselle
please.
Just goes, I hate him. Yeah. And she means it. She doesn't mean it in like a jokey way, like, oh, he's breaking work out too hard. She's like, no, this guy sucks. I hate him.
Yeah. So then Mommy and Candace getting out of a car to go try on their wedding dress.
Yeah. Which, you know, she's probably made her mother come to this shop about once a week for the past 3 months just so she could get into that dress and feel like a bride. You know, this is like her version of me going to a board game store and just looking at games, okay?
Well, this is her version of just like throwing her mother under the bus as many times as she can on camera. It's like, girl, you're going to get the dress that your mother paid for. Could you have had this discussion in the car? You know, like, why do you need to make her look like a monster again?
I know, exactly. So she's in her dress. I hate the dress, by the way. It's like super wide. It's like it's got a huge like footprint. It's gigantic. But really the issue is more that she's got these really random sort of straps that make it look like they look like they are like holding up this giant mass of a dress. So it looks like she has like a almost like a bucket of dress around her or a barrel that's being held up by these straps. It didn't work for me.
And she's got like it's like a wonky boob dress. I'm not sure if it's how it's cut or what, but one boob's like way lower than the other boob, just in the cut. It's a weird dress. And then she's got all of that netting wrapped around her. I'm like, how many mosquitoes are there in Potomac? Like, you're sleeping in a canopy of mosquito netting.
Yeah, it like almost looked like an upside down dandelion that had gone to seed. It was just like too much.
So she's that kind of girl who just cries at everything.
Yes.
You know, normally you wait for the mom to cry when you put on your dress. Your friends cry and they go, oh my God, it's finally here. You're actually a bride. But the mom doesn't. She just gives her shady looks while Candace cries at herself in the mirror.
Yeah, I mean, Candace finds everything to cry at this episode. It's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. We gave her a lot of shit last week for crying at everything, but we had no idea, like, how many things she could possibly cry at in one episode until this episode came around.
Yeah, so she comes out crying in her dress, crying at herself, and she's like, I can't, I'm going to need a tissue. So she's like having, God, you know, the whole staff fold tissues into those little squares that she likes.
Yeah.
And her mom's like, you want it that long? Like it like that?
You like that? You like really? This? You like these straps? These cheap looking straps with the bedazzling? It's not even real jewels. You like that? Okay.
You want it that long? Are you sure? No.
So you want these? Now, what's the theory behind these straps that you love so much? Oh, okay.
Mm. And Candace is one of those people to bring Jesus into her problems. You know, Jesus has enough going on. He doesn't need to be bothered every 5 minutes by you, you know? Because my mima taught me that when you mention Jesus, he listens, you know? And she mentions him every 5 seconds, and it's inappropriate times. Like, Jesus has a job, okay?
Well,
she's like, I love my gown. Crystal loved my gown. Jesus loves it, and that's all that matters. And Jesus has to take time out of his busy schedule to come look at your dress, you know?
And by the way, Jesus does not love the gown, okay?
Yeah, stop putting words in Jesus' mouth.
Yeah, I guarantee if Jesus actually took the time to look at the gown, he would have been like, no, girl, no, okay? Those straps are a Jesus test. Those straps...
Like, you know, I believe in getting married in basic sheets.
He would have. Someone put those straps on that dress and be like, okay, this is going to see if Jesus checks out this dress, because if he does, he's going to hate those straps. It's obvious. I mean, who would like the straps? So the fact that the straps still made it on there means that Jesus was like, I'm not going to bother right now. I've got other things to deal with.
Yeah, Jesus would be like, hey, pretty dress for $10,000. How about we take that money and feed some poor people?
How about that? Okay. Jesus probably just sent like a, uh-huh, yeah, no, it's great. It's great. It's great. Because he's looking at his Instagram during the commercial break.
So Candace is like, well, mother, I did want to address our little spat. And her mom's like, honey, I love you. I care about you. But why would you put your father in my goddamn life? That is his problem.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm sure the wedding store people are really grateful for this.
Yeah. The woman working there is just smiling all happy, just excited that there's this anyone in the shop. So Dorothy's like, well, why, you know, these are the sins of your father. Why would you do this? And Candace is like, I was thinking of your feelings. And Dorothy goes, No, you weren't. You weren't thinking of my feelings. She's like, I had gotten over that 28 years ago. Why would you bring that back up on your wedding day? And Candace is like, are you over it? I don't think you're over it.
And her mom's like, look, I know you still have daddy issues, but what happened happened. You're the narcissist, you're the brat, and you're the diva. That's you. And I was like, oh my God, is she helping Chris write his vows? Because that's actually beautiful.
It's actually an improvement on what we do later get. By the way, Dorothy, don't forget that you raised that narcissist, brat, princess, diva. So, you know. Let's not forget that.
Well, you know.
I just say that there's room to blame the mother. Why not? It's a Real Housewives show.
Blame your mother. When in doubt, blame the mother.
Listen.
Hey, it works for me.
Dorothy has to take some responsibility for this, you know? I'm still laughing about the joke you made about the dragon last night and your mom.
That's so true. Oh, it's true because it's fun because it's true, guys. So the day of the wedding, I was like, thank you, Jesus, because look, I just did it. Jesus is like, seriously, how many times are you going to say my name in this recap? I'm busy.
He's like, I'm busy. Melissa Gorga has called me 10 times today.
So thank, you know, heavens that they're making this go faster.
So we see it's like a few hours until the wedding. Chris and all his bros are taking photos. None of them are wearing socks, and it really bothers me.
Yeah, they have like sockless, like velvet loafers, which is weird. And also, when you're trying to save money, usually not a great idea to have a wedding party of 50 or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, was that the entire busboy staff of your barbecue restaurant? Who are all those people?
I feel like it was like the ensemble of like Starlight Express or something. But you know, I my feeling is that like if you're going to have a casual moment, if you want to do that thing like a super formal wedding, but you want to have a fun little casual wink, I don't know if sockless is how you do that wink. It's like I just don't love that. maybe do the sneaker thing, which I think is already like a little played out. But sockless, I don't know. I hate it. I hate it.
That's a lot of stinky feet.
Yeah. A lot of ankles. On. A lot of exposed ankles that I'm not sure I'm ready for.
So let's see. What's up? Candace gets her bouquet and she's like, oh, oh my God. I'm a bride. Oh my God.
It's several flowers bundled together in one, like a bouquet.
So 3 hours till, and Monique is with Jeff, her makeup guy, filming a scene because Chris is probably sick of this crap. But then Chris comes in later and she's like, well, I just hope that she remembers this is about her and Chris and not about, you know, fighting. And God, I really hope I don't get yelled at today by Giselle. Please let Giselle remember that this day is not about her.
Yeah.
And Chris is like, you and Giselle in the same room is like a bunch of lions and hyenas.
I just ate a baleen whale.
So Monique is, she's excited to get the chance to squash her beef with Giselle and Sherman.
Yeah.
Which is going to be hilarious because Giselle never forgets.
Yeah. Okay? So then meanwhile, we go over quickly to Karen's house where she's having trouble choosing an outfit. She's showing them to Ray. Ray, which one do you like? Do you like the dress that looks like a bottle of Red Stripe or this one? It's just tatters, but I've had it for 15 years and can't afford to replace it. What do you think, Ray?
He's like, I love landlines. That's what
I love. I faxed the stylist and asked which one's the better. I'm waiting for the fax back, but...
Man, could you call me back? It's very important. I need to discuss my dress, man.
He said he liked the dress on the left, but he didn't send a cover sheet, so I don't know how many more faxes are coming through before he's finished with his assessment.
And then we're seeing all these glamorous things. It's like, which beautiful dress should I put on? Then Ashley and Michael are, you know, getting dressed and pretending they're, like, still totally in love. Mm-hmm. And all that good stuff. And Michael's like, is Robin bringing Wan? Because we do our own thing. We do a manly thing together. And she's like, what is wrong with you? Why is your face red?
Nothing. I'm absolutely not thinking about the sort of heat that Wan is picking down there. Not at all.
So much foreshadowing to what's coming with these two.
Yeah.
But it's like fancy, 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 fancy.
Robin's doing laundry.
Also, we have to give a big shout out to the skateboarder in Maryland who wiped out and they put it on the B-roll in between Ashley and Robin. Did you see that?
Yeah, it's like a Robin fail. They're like, warning, it's a Robin fail scene.
Yeah, exactly. Poor guy. He's all excited to be doing a skateboard trick on camera.
Still signed the release, though, idiot.
So, yeah. So then we see Robin doing laundry before the wedding. Which is so Robin.
Yeah. We're going to be late, Juan. We're going to be late.
I'm like, well, don't do laundry now. This is not a time to do laundry. You're going to a wedding and you live 6 hours away.
So it's like, happiness, happiness. Robin's doing laundry. Giselle's crying on the couch. She's yeah. like, my poor eyelash. Terrible.
Maybe this is like the curse of that couch because I have always hated that couch. It's got like bedposts on it. It drives me nuts because it's like sort of a bed, but sort of a couch, but sort of neither. It drives me nuts.
So she calls Robin and she's like about an hour ago, Sherman informed me he will not be going to the wedding with me. I was like, that's it? I thought he dumped you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it pretty much is a dumping, right? So Rob is like, are you serious? Wow, the tide is certainly turning. No, literally, I'm doing laundry and the tide is in there now.
That is such a pot of tide. I can't even believe you do that to you.
Well, that's all. A-L-L, that's all.
Are you going to constantly be on the spin cycle?
You need to put him on a permanent press.
So, yeah, she's like, Sherman just called, and he said he doesn't think he's going to come anymore. And my question is, why are you trying to hurt me? I gave him a second chance. He totally wasted my time. Okay, this is, to me, this is such an example of how fucking selfish Giselle is. The guy dated you. In the time he dated you, one of your idiot friends brought on his ex and talked about him getting arrested for having sex in public and tried to ruin his life. Can you not see how maybe he wouldn't want to show up to a group scene where said person is going to be there?
Well, I mean, he had dumped Giselle at that point. He had ghosted Giselle, so he was already persona non grata in the world of Bravo. So when Monique brought all that shit up, it was sort of like, yeah, fuck Sherman. And now we're supposed to be, like, all upset about, like, Monique bringing that stuff up. You know, and Sherman, here's the thing. I mean, I don't really know where to put the blame, because Giselle was dumb for taking this guy back, because his big thing was basically he didn't want to be on a reality show. But then he calls and professes his love. She takes him back, which is dumb of her. And then sure enough, when he says he's not going to come to the wedding, he says he's not ready to be around, quote, all those people, end quote, which is code for your co-stars and producers in reality. He doesn't want to be on a reality show. So it's like, Sherman, that's what Giselle is. I mean, for better or for worse, whether you like her or not, she's a reality star. So you can't expect to change that. So fuck you, Sherman. And you're dumb, Giselle, for taking him back.
Yeah, I think he got scared at the last minute. Was like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, can we just date away from that for a while?
Yeah.
Or, you know, if I'm going to be on camera, can I not do it in, like, a scene with all the people who were totally mocking me?
You right. know? Or he could, like, not, like, get a hooker in the future, you know? Like own the fact that he had a hooker or something like that. I don't know. I don't think that what Sherman did was really that terrible. It's, like, sort of funny. But the more that he acts all defensive about it, the more it's like, oh my God, you aired my man's dirty business. It becomes a bigger thing. He should just be like, yeah, I was horny and dumb. I did it. I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was funny that Robin worded it like this. She said, the point is, he's supposed to be your escort. And I was like, LOL. So Giselle now, of course, will burn a whole city down. She's like, I hate him. How could you do this to me?
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be asking me, where's Sherman?
Yeah. That is pretty annoying to have to answer that question over and over again. Although I don't think anyone really cares enough about Sherman to really ask. Right? Does anyone really care about Sherman?
You've only been back together with him for like 5 minutes, so maybe not tell everybody. Yeah. You're going to still like start going to counseling to try it. You know?
Yeah, there's that too. I think that like everyone perpetually forgets about Sherman. When we did the Crappies back in January, we had a in memoriam montage of all the people who left Bravo, and Sherman was in there, and everyone was like, who? Like the entire audience got silent. Like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
No one remembers Sherman.
Yeah. Well, he's barely even on, you know? So
yeah.
Then we go over. So she's going to make this whole wedding about herself, you know, which there's always someone who does it. And I'm kind of glad it's Giselle, because so far she's boring me. Giselle makes me insane on this show, but so far I'm bored.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather this wedding be about Giselle than Candace, because over in the hair and makeup chair an hour before the wedding, Candace is sitting there and she's like, she's not even a good bridezilla. She's like, okay. Do the makeup, then the hair. Not at both. It stresses me out. Okay, that door opening, closing is stressing me out. I can't. I'm like, I feel like this is like low-level bridezilla. I feel like if you're going to be a bridezilla, really go for it, you know?
I like when she goes, I like this curl, but not this curl. Hold on. I said, I'm not comfortable with this curl. I'm comfortable with this curl. So do this curl. It's like, okay, lady who's never worked a day in her life.
Yeah, seriously.
Whoops, sorry, I burnt you with that curling iron. You just kept saying curl.
The curl that she's not comfortable with is already like applying a little square tissue to its eyebrows. It's like, or eyelids. It's just crying in her hair.
Oh, Candace. And she's like, do not let my mother in here. I cannot take my mother in here. I'm like, well, who's going to pay these people?
Right, exactly.
What, are you going to ask her to slip a check under the door?
And Dorothy goes, I thought I raised you better than that. Where did I go wrong? Jesus, help me.
Jesus is like, again, really?
You need me right now to stand up to your daughter and stay in the same room while she gets her hair and makeup done? This is why you need me, Jesus? You need me, Jesus, here right now to facilitate this situation.
Like, okay, guys, stop calling me. I'm going to turn around now and take my lunch break. And Candace is like, if it's not Jesus, don't let them in. He's like, okay, you know, that's it, you guys. That's it. I'm turning off my intercom for this section of the world right now. I hope nothing tragic happens.
There is a man somewhere in Florida who's getting his leg chewed off by an alligator. And I came here. I prioritized you instead of him.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Then Monique and Chris arrive. And Monique's like, I get to eat everything. And she's like making a positive thing out of it, which is great because it's got to be hard for her not to drink.
Yeah, it must be. It must be really hard. It's nice to see how, you know, like, wow, Chris lives too. So they arrive, and Ashley and Michael show up too, and things are like very stressed. Like, they're very stressful between Ashley and Monique because Monique is still upset that Ashley accused Monique of drinking and driving last season. When, as we all know, Monique merely drank 3 to 5 martinis and happened to get very tired, and happened to just close her eyes a little bit and swerve off the road to hit a small tree and almost a larger tree.
Yeah, no bigs. But Ashley is messy, and she deserves everything she's getting this season. Because that was she was terrible last season. She just took everybody and ran them over and over.
Well, she does it every season. I mean, she's like one of the messiest people on Bravo, and I almost think that she doesn't even get the credit for it.
Oh, she sure did last year, but this is her season of comeuppance, and I cannot wait, even though I really like her. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's fun. It's like wrestling, you know? Pick your side. Pick someone. Even though you like them, you still want to see them get pummeled.
Yeah, well, that's the fun of Bravo.
So they stay in the car because they're pussies. They just wait for Monique and Chris to go inside. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, well, I'm hopeful we can have a discussion. Oh, God.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Guess what I got us today?
What?
Sky TV?
Sky? What next? Feeding the cat caviar?
No, it's only £22 a month.
Drawing up plans for a swimming pool in the back garden?
You're not listening. It's only £22.
Probably readying the gold-plated bathtub as we speak.
Nope, just Sky for £22.
Believe in being pleasantly surprised with original British drama, exclusive US shows, and voice control from just £22 a month. Sky. Believe in better.
Standard set of £20, 18-month minimum term. Further terms apply.
So then they play. They show the orchestra starting to play, but then they're playing music to. They're playing music over it to purposely make it sound off key and terrible for Candace's wedding, which is our sign that Candace is really mean to the crew.
Yeah, exactly. And the procession is like starting. Like the people, the guys are coming through and everything. So of course Candace is now getting in position, and guess what? Starting to cry, and she's like. But she's not in position. She's sitting somewhere trying to do a selfie of herself now that her hair and makeup is done, and she's trying to take a selfie, and when she sees herself in her camera, she starts to cry, and she's, okay, hold on. It's a wave of cry. Okay.
It's a Snapchat selfie. She's like, I look so adorable as a Dalmatian. A Dalmatian that's getting married.
I've always wanted to see what I'd look like as a hot dog. And I see I am one now. And it's a lot.
Well, there's someone to dry her tears because, of course, Giselle comes up late wearing paper towel dress.
Yeah.
She's wearing paper towel wings.
Yeah, exactly. And she's brought Cal, of course, because Sherman's not available. And then, meanwhile, it's like starting to rain. So someone tells Candace, like, hey, it's raining. That's a sign of good fortune, which is like that bullshit thing someone says if it rains at a wedding. And Candace starts to cry. She's like, oh my God. Oh my God. I have rain fortune. Oh my God.
Jesus.
Like, Candace, there's a dust bunny in that corner. That's a sign of fertility. Oh my God.
A dust bunny. Oh my God.
So like it's a Broadway show, they will not seat them because they're late. Like, I'm sorry, but you have to wait until the end of the day.
I'm sorry, you have to wait until Tevye's rendition of Tradition is over, and then we can seat you. But what will I know what the mamas do, what the papas do? I'm sorry, you forfeited your right to know that.
Like, you're confused the rest of the show. Why are the mamas doing that? Where are they all cooking? I don't understand. So then also, Karen is really late, of course. You're not surprised that Giselle or Karen are totally late to this wedding. Yeah. So they come in late, and Karen's like, well, I guess we're just going to have to stand here. Rain, Matt, security.
Security, I demand an escort, but not like Sherman. Security.
Security. So Karen and Giselle are both like in the waiting section. They're just out there waiting. And mm-hmm. Karen refuses to look at Giselle. She just keeps slipping her hair. And yeah. Giselle's like, maybe if I look like I'm crying, I'll get attention. But then she just has butt face while Karen flips her hair. Those yeah. two are so ridiculous.
And Karen is trying to like be sassy in her interview. She's like, I was expecting to see a Sherman Wormy, not Cali Wally, not the Weddy Betty. What else can I do a simple rhyme with? Ooh, rhymey kimey.
I would mind my business dizziness.
I have a press conference on France.
So then here comes the bride with her wonky boob dress. And she has a ton of face shit that has to be pulled back. Oh, yeah, her mosquito netting. The poor guy. First of all, you're supposed to lift that mosquito netting when you get to the front so the guy can see your face finally.
Oh, my God, you're so right. I didn't even pick up on that.
Before she even started walking, they're like, okay, we better unwrap you, you know?
Yeah. Well, because she was getting married to herself, essentially. You know, she... So, yeah, so she walks down the aisle, and it's like her, she's with her dad and her stepdad and then Dorothy. So they bring her up. And that's, you know, then there's like typical wedding shit where she's like choking up every 2 seconds over the standard. Like, do you take this man? Yada, yada, yada. So now it's time for the vows. Candace is like, thank you for being kind to me. Thank you for the gift and the honor of your most incredibly gentle spirit. Thank you for your brown dick that I've told the world about. Thank you for contributing about $45 to this wedding. Thank you.
And please, next time I have a party for my friends and you cater it, don't forget to bring napkins. Thank you.
Thank you Thank for you. Holding my purse and being so kind to accept my highest compliment, which is calling you a little bitch. Thank you.
So then it's his turn and he's like, my girl, I heard it through the grapevine that you're dancing in the street.
So Despacito.
I want you to know. If you reach out, I'll be there.
Rhythm Nation. Diamonds and Pearls. R-E-S-P-C-T.
Please, Mr. Postman. I have a superstition that my guy is like a heat wave. Do you love me? Let's get on it.
What's love got to do with it? Stand tall, stand proud. Voices that care, crying out loud.
My papa was a Rolling Stone.
Piano in the dark.
And you've got Tears of a Clown. Hey! Sorry, was that too far?
Tenderness.
Was that too far? I'd like to thank your mother for being here. Money, that's what I want. It's like, wait a minute!
Never too much, never too much, never too much.
He can't. War, what is it good for? He can't stop himself.
Straight up, now tell me. He's just going to any song now. Come on, Eileen. Who's Eileen? Just go with it.
He's like, thank you, next. So then,
who you gonna call? Ghostbusters. Giselle's like,
this a man put together titles of black R&B and called it Vows. Who does that? The white guy with the brown dick does that.
He's up there still going. He's like, bat dance. Like, okay, Chris. Okay, no need to bring in the bat dance into this. Macarena. Like, no, okay. Just,
it's the itsy bitsy spider.
Come on, ride the train. Ride it, the choo-choo. Okay, Chris.
Yeah, he just keeps going.
He's on jock jams now. Ooh. Who let the dog out? Who?
I thought that was pretty funny. I liked his vows.
I hated it. I was into it. It was funny. I think, it was like... It was one of those things where it's like, oh man, you know, it'd be hilarious if I just took like all her favorite songs and strung them together to make a vow. And I'm like, well, the novelty's fun, but like, you're going to look back and feel sad that you didn't like really say something meaningful.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure she doesn't listen to him anyway. You know, he's just the first stand.
He basically like this, she heard just Charlie Brown's Teacher. Wah, 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 Candace, wah, Candace, wah, 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 Candace, yeah. Wah.
She's taking a selfie while he's talking.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so then she's all happy and she's like, Jesus, I'm married now. She's Mrs. Bassett. And I was like, somewhere Angela is very upset.
I know. I perked up. I was like, Angela Bassett game? I got all excited. I was like, wow, this show's really getting it together this season.
I was just mad. I do not like the potential connection between Candace and Angela Bassett. It's not, I do not approve.
Too late.
Strange days
now
indeed.
Stuck in our heads forever.
I know.
So Candace, you know, so they get through the whole wedding and now it's time for Robin to show up. Yeah. Rude.
I know. What a bitch. 30 minutes after the ceremony, you guys show up. I mean, come on now. That's obnoxious.
Really rude. And it makes it even ruder that Robin is just so Robin about it. She's like, I guess we missed the ceremony. Should we lie and say we were here? And Juan's like, I'm not lying. She's like, okay, thanks. So look,
yeah.
Hey, everybody, I'd like to note that Juan is backing me up. We're winning. But
I know.
Then she's so Robin because she goes, it's a big step for us to be here together. So if we're late, I mean, as long as we're together, we're on time. No, bitch.
No,
late.
No, you're late. You're late. Because the ceremony was already probably 30 minutes. It probably started 10 to 15 minutes late. And then this is 30 minutes after that? No, bitch, you are late.
Yeah, it's just
it's
rude.
So obnoxious. I hate that. Like, oh, like they, this is like, Candace, this wedding is awful, but it is still like an important, a milestone event for them. And we're supposed to be like, oh, no, it's okay because you guys are together. You've taken a big step, which is not a big step at all because you guys live together. So it's not unreasonable to expect you guys would arrive together at a social event.
So one thing this show needs is these women to be together. Because so far we've gotten a lot of just women in their regular lives. And no one needs to see that. Or we've seen them in pairs.
Of course not.
And this show does not exceed at that. Or excel at that. So... here we go. Finally, we're at a place where they can all start to be together. And it's like your first day back at school. No one's really sure who they're friends with. Everyone has new boobs and new hair. I mean, it's just like eighth grade.
Just like, yeah, I was about to say, just like eighth grade.
So they start squealing at each other. Monique and Karen are first. They're like, wow. So Karen's like, what a beautiful wedding. Wasn't it, Matt? Matt, where'd Matt go?
Matt.
Security, could you find Matt?
Security, I'd like to have a press conference in the corner of this wedding. Discuss this wedding, Matt. Security.
So then Ray starts telling him this story. He's like, it reminded me of years and years ago when the sea parted and we were walking through it and Karen said, my feet hurt. She's like, stick to the story, Ray. We're talking about the wedding. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So he talks about how when they got to the part, like sickness and health and even when you're poor or whatever the words are. And she's like, I almost died laughing. I mean, at this time, he had more to lose, and he almost started coughing at the worldly goods part.
Yeah, and Ray's basically like, well, that's because during the rehearsal, there was never any mention of, and you're going to give over all your worldly goods to her, and then at the actual wedding, that just sort of got slipped in there, so he was, like, taken aback. Like, that's so Karen.
Yeah, it is.
So Karen to do a sneak attack like that.
Could you hide this part during the rehearsal? He doesn't need to hear that part. He loves a surprise.
I was also thrown off because then we saw a shot of Ray ordering a rum and tonic at the bar. Is that something that people drink? I've never really heard of people getting a rum and tonic before.
I think that to older people, a tonic is like a medicine, so it just makes it feel healthier. It's like a vitamin.
I'd like a rum and serum, please.
Yeah. So Karen's like, Ray and I are dating. It's the first night we've had since we lost Mom and Dad. And I'm ready for love.
Like, oh, she's like playing skee ball on the Christmas cake. Like, oh, it's our date. It's like, no, this is a wedding. Put the skee ball down. You're going to knock over the cake.
She's cutting the first piece of cake and feeding it to Ray. It's like, this is not about you, Karen. So then Giselle and Ashley are talking, and Giselle's like, well, he said he couldn't come. He didn't want to be around certain people. And Ashley's like, we were rooting for you, Sherman.
Yeah, and Ashley feels bad, but she's also like so impressed to see that Giselle actually has feelings. So, progress.
She can show her feelings when it's somebody else's wedding, and she's kind of upstaging through.
Yeah.
It's like that person. It's like the Sheena of this group. He's like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you guys getting married. Unfortunately, Autumn left me right after I bought him a penguin named Spot.
All these people here in penguin suits remind me of the penguin named Spot.
So then Candace and Chris go upstairs to get changed for their big reunion or their big party outfits. And Karen and Monique and Chris are talking. And Monique is telling them that she was sitting next to Ashley, that they didn't speak. And Karen's like, well, Ashley has a habit of meddling in other people's business to hide her own problems. I think that their marriage is the fake country marriage. I've said it before.
Yeah.
But if Ashley attacks me, or my family, or my ring on my front door again, I will sue her for that restaurant and give it to her mother.
And I will keep the pizza, if there is one.
She hasn't done that shooting the gun with her fingers, like that finger thing when she winks and goes...
Yeah.
And I miss that. I need that back, Karen.
It's a great Karen tick. I love, by the way, the idea that... I love that they're so mad at Ashley for meddling, when the truth is that all these women are, like, supreme meddlers. Like, they are the most meddling cast of all of them.
Yes.
They're super meddlers.
This really is. And that's why they're doing so well.
Yeah, exactly. So now Karen's asking Monique where Sherman was and everything. And I mean, it's not really significant. But then we go over and we see Michael and Juan and Chris. They're all talking together. They're having like a bro moment. And they're talking about how Michael has a beef with Ray. And I couldn't really understand what was being said because Chris, his voice is so deep. And like, it's like deep, but like smoky. So it, a lot of times it just sounds like that. Like,
because Juan's like, you guys are still beefing? And Michael's like, well, you know, I'm not really sure what's going on. And Chris is like, you know what's up. And he's like, oh, so now you're defending Ray. And he goes, I'm defending man code.
Yeah. And so then Michael turns to Juan. It's like, if there was a fight, would you jump in between us? You want to jump in between? You want to get right in here? You want to squeeze right? It's like, we're a tight fit. I'll have to have my body pressed up against yours. You think you still want to jump in?
If we made a fight sandwich, would you be interested in being the meat? That's all I'm asking.
It'll get really hot. We may have to take off our shits. We're all pressed up.
Jack, please. He's like, my wife left some laundry in. Gotta go.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, this is a really big step for me to come to this, okay? I'm leaving.
And so the girls decide they haven't seen each other for a long time, and nobody really knows what to say to each other, because this cast goes in hard at those reunions. I mean, they're just all mortified, basically, to see each other after they did that to each other at the last reunion. They go really low. Of course, all of them, especially lately, have been going really low. Mm-hmm. But it's just funny, because it's the most awkward scene ever for them to have to see each other again. So they just decide to get wasted. So they start taking shots. And Ashley's like, well, I've been trying to cut out alcohol together on my journey. I was like, oh, geez, get wasted.
Yeah, please. So meanwhile, Candace and Chris go sort of like next door in this space to check out the reception area. And of course, Candace walks in and sees all the tables and starts going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
This is literally a dream.
Oh, my God. And it's raining. Good fortune. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy that this wedding planner explained to her that she can't fill the ceiling with flowers and instead put a projection up there.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, wedding planner. God. But it still wound up being a $200,000 wedding. I mean, it's absolutely insane. Absolutely. Yeah.
Especially when it was just a curtain that they moved to have the reception right behind the curtain. It was like continental breakfast time at the Marriott.
Yeah, so now the other ladies are just like chatting and stuff, and Giselle like winds up talking to Monique, like they're sort of saying hi, and Giselle's like, oh, so you're not being a hater today, huh? And Monique's like, I'm never a hater. And so then this sort of like prompts them to start talking, because Monique wants to apologize to Giselle and Sherman, and wants to apologize to both of them, because at this point Monique has pulled Giselle aside, and she's like, you know, she's like, I want to apologize to you and Sherman. Giselle's like, well, that you can only have that conversation with me. And she's like, well, yes, but I want to tell both of you guys, I'm sad that Sherman's not here, because I want to tell him in person. Well, you have to have that with me. It's only between with me. And she's like, yes, but I know. I just want to with me, only with me. It's like, Giselle, just take the apology for crying out loud.
Yeah. And she's like, well, you came for my guy. And if I came for your big boy, you'd be on your ass about it. And she's like, well, look, I'm here to tell you I apologize and I'm really sorry. And Chris comes up and he's like, babe, you ready? She goes, can we have a second? And he's like, no, that's my wife. Which I liked. He's like,
I thought
no,
that
bitch,
was awesome.
You're not going to sit here and tell off an 8-month pregnant lady at a party, yeah. Okay, Giselle?
I thought that was so awesome. Because he did it in a way that he didn't escalate. He wasn't like, he didn't do like a Peter Thomas thing. He just was like, no, you do not get another second. I'm taking my wife right now. I was like, oh, Chris, yeah, like, why am I suddenly so
like
attracted
the second
to you
that
right
she
now?
Got really heated, you know?
Yeah, he was great. Chris is like such a great guy too. I think he seems so nice and like so sweet. And you know, he's an easy laugher, which I think is the thing I like the most about him. He's always laughing at something.
Well, you know, I love an easy laugh.
Yeah.
I was built that way. But yeah, the minute she gets heated, he comes and takes her away. And then did you notice how Giselle backs right the fuck down right mm-hmm. after that happened? Because then yep. she decides to go apologize to Monique. Or not apologize, but she's like, I will accept your apology later.
Yeah.
And I was like, haha. You just have to stand up to Giselle.
Yeah, it's true. So now it's the reception time. And, like, of course, Karen and Ray are seated directly across from Michael and Ashley. So Karen and Michael have a very forced interaction where Michael's like, hello, Karen. How are you today? And she's like, I'm good, Michael. You? Let me just move this bouquet in front of you. Oh, you've disappeared. Such a shame.
Yeah, I loved how much she hated him. And Michael's just so surprised. Michael gets messy with all the women, and then he's like, why is everyone mad at me? You know, and he just sits there like that old dog that needs to be put down with the watery eyes, turns all red and just kind of shakes in a corner.
Little Gollum ears, yeah.
Yeah, so then Candace, I'm skipping over some of this.
Well, everything was like, sort of like a blur.
Yeah.
It was sort of like a lot of little, it was like a lot of little mini conversations.
Yeah. So let's see. Giselle's talking to Juan and Robin now. And Juan's like, are you okay? And she's like, well, I'm telling you this. We are done. We are absolutely done. I'm done with Sherman. Which Juan has heard 9 million times, you know? And we even saw when she drove all the way out to their house to cry to them. And then Juan does typical Juan where he blames the woman. He does it every time.
He's like, I mean, you don't want to cut it off. I mean, you love this man. You know, it's like, you just didn't do your due diligence on him. It's like, of course Juan is going to defend keeping it together when he's been the one stringing along Robin for like 10 years, okay? Of course he's going to be for that.
Yeah, and you know that when they fight about him cheating or doing whatever, he's like, well, you didn't communicate to me that it bothered you.
No.
Because that's his argument. You just didn't communicate it to him.
No Juan.
Like, no Juan.
Even Robin's like, He's in. They're in counseling together.
They're not at the steps we are, where we go act really in love while I sweat to death in a hot tub while you wait outside of it and just nod your head.
Okay? Yeah, yeah. They can't just bounce back. Oh, that reminds me. I forgot to put bounce in the laundry. We should go.
Sherman is dead to me.
Sherman.
So next is like the let's dance with the, you know, the daddy dance. And this is when Giselle comes up behind Monique. She's like, I wanted to tell you, I appreciate the apology, bye.
Yeah. And then she goes up to Karen because she's on like an apology tour, and she's like, Karen, I want my friend back, and I've had several drinks. And Karen's like, I know.
Yeah, I can tell. And then Karen goes, I do not trust. Do I trust her? No. Blink, 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 blink. Do you?
I trust her as much as I trust those strange non-corded telephones.
Yeah. And Giselle finally gets the point. She's like, I miss her so much. I'm going to be a better friend. It's like, yeah, that's kind of what you need to do, stupid.
Yeah, that's usually how friendships work.
Everyone starts, Chris comes out and he's like, Candace. And at the beginning, Candace was like, I've got a little trick up my sleeve for Chris. I've got a special gift. I was like, oh God, please tell me it's not the gift of like terrible singing. Because you know that's what's coming.
Please tell me it's not an oversized picture of his brown penis. You all wanted to see it. Here it is.
It's like the singing bass on a wall. But it's his it's his big penis on the wall, and it sings like, hello, my baby. Doo-wops. Hello, my honey. Hello.
And it does that thing where it bends away towards the wall. Yeah. So, yep, sure enough, unfortunately for you and for all of us, it is the gift of her terrible singing. So Candace comes out dressed in tinfoil, and she starts singing a song called, like, I see you, I see you.
I don't know what heals the heart or where to start to describe how much I love you. I see you. I see you.
It's like a song inspired by Avatar. I see you.
A song inspired by opening your blinds in the morning. I see you.
A song inspired by that old man on the porch looking at teenagers walking by. I see you. Get away from here.
Get off my lawn. Get off my lawn.
You see this? I keep it now.
I just put so off key, Jesus. And then Jesus came into my notes and was like, stop.
Please.
Please. So she dances. He's like, oh my God, I'm crying right now. I have to listen to this idiot for the rest of my life, all for rent on a shitty condo.
So then Ashley's drunk. So she goes outside and Michael's trying to sober her up. He's like, okay, let's just calm it down a bit and relax a little bit. Sort of what I say to Juan every time I'm alone with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because at one point he's talking to, it's right here. He tells Juan, I promised I would go make up with Ray. And, you know, I said something friendly to him and he touched my arm as he walked by. So that's good, right? I wanted to grab his butt, but I didn't. Baby steps.
I know. I was like, I couldn't really tell where the joke was in that, where his joke was. I was like, I feel like you're trying to make a joke, but I also feel like you're also giving us, like, breadcrumbs to, like, your master plan.
Yeah. Well, his thing has always been grabbing people's butts. Remember the Andrew. His first season. Yeah. He was grabbing people's butts, all the guys' butts. And they were like, mm-hmm. That is gay. Yeah. And so he's, I guess, trying to joke about it, but that's kind of why he got a lot of trouble a little later in the season.
Meanwhile, we finally meet this, this like, half-brother that's caused all this controversy. He's just, like, a perfectly normal, nice dude who just was so happy to be there. And
he didn't even get to bring a plus one. I mean, that is so Candace. Like, I want you to come. It's very important to come because you're going to piss off my mother, but I am not paying for you to bring a date.
Yeah, okay? Exactly. Meanwhile, Cal gets in for free. So so Candace and her brother are hugging, and then Giselle meets the brother, and they're all hugging, and then Dorothy walks in and is like, and walks out.
She just gives them the worst looks and makes the biggest deal out of giving them terrible looks. How is it his fault he was born?
Yeah, thank you.
God, why are you still able to walk down the aisle with the father, but you're mad at the child? It's so stupid.
Yeah, did she not learn anything from Catelyn Stark? Did she not remember
how that happened? Watch some Game of Thrones, for Christ's sake.
Seriously.
Oh, so then that's pretty much it. The mom sits with Candace and she's like, well, am I a good mother now?
Yeah. Are you happy with this? Are you thankful for your mother?
Yeah. Huh? And she's like, well, I'm not going to cling to my mother. I'm clinging to my husband because he bought this ring for me, not my mother. Like, well, what a win.
We'll see. Enjoy that condo that your mom pays for.
Yeah. And that brings us to the end of the Real Housewives of Potomac.
So glad we could put Candace's wedding behind us. And now I'm interested to see how her tagline comes to fruition, which is, I think it's something along the lines of, now that I'm married, this Sleeping Beauty is woke. So yeah. I'm like, is this now when she like becomes an active member of Black Lives Matter? I don't understand like where the woke part happens, but I'm intrigued.
Joining the Bernie campaign. I can't wait to watch her go door to door and try to scare me into voting.
Oh my goodness.
This show needs to pick it up. I expect more from Potomac because it's one of my favorite ones. I think it's fucking hilarious, but so far I'm like, ugh.
Lord. I've been fine with it so far, believe it or not. I've been fine. I blame the wedding. I've been fine with it, but I agreed. And let's get these women like up into each other's lives a little bit.
Yeah, light it up, ladies. Well, tomorrow we will be back doing a Crappens On Demand live stream. So if you want to watch that, it is at noon Pacific. We're going to be covering Vanderpump Rules. And then On Thursday morning, we're going to do a 10:30 a.m. Pacific time, which is kind of early, but you know, it's lunchtime for some of you. We're going to do a live stream of our Real Housewives of New York recap before we go off and do our live show in Potomac. Okay.
Yeah, a live show in Irvine. And
I mean, in Irvine.
We're going to Potomac that day. No, we're going to Irvine. And so, yeah, make sure if you're in Southern California, be sure to get your tickets at watchercrappins.com because there actually are not a lot left. We forgot to mention that at the top of the show. So definitely get some because time is running out and so are tickets. And we'll see you all tomorrow to talk some Vanderpump Rules.
Later.
Bye.
BBC Sounds.
Ancient ancestors, you listening? Apparently, that's the sound of a rainforest, whatever that is. Because in the year 2370, they don't exist. Neither do animals, or insects, or birds. So if we don't have these things anymore, what on earth did you do?
Forest 404, a brand new drama podcast starring Pearl Mackie. To listen to Forest 404 first, download the free BBC Sounds app.